Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Global warming, I mean, it's a monumental challenge.
Absolutely.
And it touches every corner of our lives, even down to, well, our daily dairy.
Yeah.
So as temperatures climb, how do we ensure our cows stay healthy, stay productive? It's a crucial question.
It really is. And what's fascinating, I think, is how science is stepping up, with some innovative solutions. Today, we're doing a deep dive into some really interesting Canadian research. It looks at how genetic selection could help dairy cattle adapt.
To these hotter climates.
Exactly, adapt to hotter climates.
That's right. So we're digging into this detailed research paper. It compares different genetic models for estimating heat tolerance in Canadian Holsteins.
Right, Holsteins.
Our mission really is to figure out how we can breed cows that aren't just high producing, which is obviously important, but also genuinely resilient to heat stress.
Yeah, and see, there's a real challenge there because the high-producing dairy cows, they actually generate more metabolic heat,
Oh, right, of course.
which makes them inherently more susceptible to heat stress. It's a kind of a catch-22.
A catch-22. So the very thing we breed for, high milk yield, could make them suffer more in the heat.
Precisely. Researchers have actually found a pretty significant negative genetic correlation between high milk production and heat tolerance.
How negative are we talking?
The numbers range from about -0.16 to -0.56.
Wow.
So it means if we only select for more milk, we could, inadvertently be breeding cows that are less able to handle heat.
So we might have been making it tougher for them without realizing it.
It's a possibility, a sort of silent challenge, and that's why really understanding this heat tolerance piece is so critical now.
Okay, so if we're up against this kind of genetic trade-off, how do scientists even measure something like heat tolerance, especially across, a whole country?
Good question. This study basically pitted two main strategies against each
All
other.
right, what's the first one?
The first is the more, let's call it traditional heat stress function model, or HSF.
HSF.
Think of it as like a straightforward benchmark. It assumes all cows start feeling the heat stress at a common threshold.
A single point for everyone.
Yeah, based on the temperature humidity index, the THI. And beyond that point, their production is assumed to drop off predictably, linearly.
What?
So for Canada, they identified specific THIs like 66 for milk yield, 55 for fat, 60 for protein.
And this model is used.
Oh, yeah. It's computationally pretty efficient. It's been used in national genetic evaluations, like in Australia, for instance.
Okay, efficient, straightforward.
Yeah.
What's the second approach then? Something more complex.
It is, yeah. That's the Legendre polynomials model, or LP. This one's the newer, maybe more sophisticated kid on the block.
Legendre polynomials. Sounds fancy.
It sort of is. It doesn't assume that single threshold for all cows. Instead, it allows for individual variation.
Ah, so each cow gets its own response curve.
Exactly. It can capture more subtle, nuanced physiological reactions to the heat. It's more personalized, you could say.
That sounds incredibly detailed. So how did they actually test these two models? What was the setup?
Well, they used a massive data set, over 300,000 first parity Holstein cows.
Wow, 300,000.
Yeah, from nearly 4,500 herds right across Canada. They matched up the cows' test day milk records with detailed weather data from local stations
Between which years?
between 2018 and 2021. And they calculated that THI, the temperature humidity mix, averaged over 3 days to really capture the impact on milk production, focusing on the warmer months.
Okay, got it. Big data set, two models, HSF versus LP. What did they find? Did the complex LP model just blow the traditional one away?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? And I mean, the LP model did show a better statistical fit,
Meaning.
meaning its predictions were, statistically speaking, a bit closer to the actual recorded milk production. Lower mean squared error, technically.
Okay, so it was more accurate.
It was. But, and this is the kicker when it came down to ranking the bulls based on their genetics for heat tolerance.
Yeah, their estimated breeding values or EBVs.
Exactly. When they ranked the bulls using those EBVs, both models gave remarkably similar results.
Wait, really? The simpler HSF model was almost as good at picking out the best heat tolerant bulls.
Pretty much. The rank correlation, how similarly they ordered the bulls, was super high, over 0.97 for all bulls tested.
That is high.
And even if you just looked at the top 10% of bulls, the really elite ones for heat tolerance, the correlation was still very strong. 0.97 for fat, 0.95 for protein, maybe a little lower, but still high at 0.86 for milk yield under heat stress.
So, practically speaking, they both point to the same top animals.
Largely, yes. It tells us both methods are effective at identifying the animals with the best genetics for handling heat.
Huh. So what's the big takeaway then for dairy farmers, for breeding programs?
Well, I think the big takeaway is that sometimes, you know, a simpler tool can be just as effective for the job at hand.
Right.
The LP model is fantastic for researchers wanting to understand the deep biological nuances, the individual cow responses. That's really valuable science.
But for routine evaluations.
But for routine genetic evaluations where you need efficiency and you're ranking lots of animals, the HSF model, even with its simplifying assumptions, turns out to be a really powerful and computationally effective workhorse.
So good news either way, really. Both offer pathways.
Definitely. Both offer promising avenues for genetic selection. They give producers tools to breed herds that are more resilient as temperatures continue to rise.
So we've seen how this sophisticated genetic modeling is giving real, tangible solutions for the dairy industry facing climate change. It's precision agriculture in action.
It really is, and it makes you think, doesn't it? It raises a question for you listening. Beyond just heat tolerance in cows, what other maybe subtle animal traits could genetic modeling help us unlock? You know, to prepare our food systems for whatever tomorrow's world throws at us.